Welcome to the Bill Buckmaster Show. Bill Buckmaster enjoying a well-deserved vacation. My name is Dan Gibson. I'm the Senior Director of Communications at Visit Tucson and semi-regular contributor to the Bill Buckmaster Show. Maybe that's right. We are broadcasting today from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, the Bill Buckmaster Show live line, which is at 790-2040, is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. You can find more out about the station at kvy.com. It's 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. We're talking about tourism today, and in this more specific way, we're talking about how our attractions, attractions feels like a jargony word that we use in tourism. I don't know if it's actually something that people say, but the museums, the zoos, the gardens, the sort of things that make up the things that people in this, when they visit here, do, the things that people who live in town do, is sort of things that add character and culture and soul and personality to our city. We're going to talk about those. Partially, shameless plug, although we don't necessarily get anything out of it, visit tucson.org/support. We're running a event all this week called Tucson's Show Support. It's an opportunity to celebrate the places that we love here in Tucson, the places that we'd be really upset if they went away, by buying memberships. And 10 different attractions are offering memberships this week at a discount. From some of them are $10 off, some of them are 20% off. Some add an extra month to your membership, 13 for the price of 12. All great deals. You can check them out at visittucson.org/support. That will not be the last time I mention that, because I want to get some memberships for these great places. So we'll be talking to some of the people who run these great places today. First up, it is Jeremy, and I am sure literally everyone says this, Jeremy, but I'm going to make the best stab at your last name that I can, Mikolajczak.
You're good.
No, not at all. But I got help from Ann Thwaites, who I insisted, who does PR and many other things at the Tucson Museum of Art. I was like, please type it out for me in a way that I will not embarrass myself and Jeremy. You are the CEO of Tucson Museum of Art. I do not have to tell you that. How are things?
They're going good. We opened on July 30th and have had a great community response to the museum to be open. We actually just got some of our first surveys back, and it's really heartwarming to read the responses from the community, you know, thanking us for being open along with other attractions. And so far, so good, which, you know, knock on wood.
And it's such a strange spot, I think, for all the attractions, but in particular Tucson Museum of Art, because so much changed in the interim, right? I mean, I think you probably had a very different idea, like all of us, of what 2020 was going to look like. But the Kasser family wing is such an incredible addition to the museum, and that opened sort of in the interim, right?
Yeah, it did, actually. You know, who would have thought, you know, 2020 would be where we're at. And of course, you know, that we would open this amazing, you know, 7,000 square foot new addition to the museum during these sort of challenging times. But we did. And it was really an amazing process. And it feels so good to have it open. I mean, we've been going at construction for about 18 months. And, you know, to see it come to fruition, to, you know, welcome the family, the Kasser family, and to see this amazing gift to the community, and now to see the community members and our members, is just, it's truly rewarding. And, you know, we had to pivot a lot, like many of our colleagues across town, in terms of how we do operations, you know, time ticketing, you know, mask orders, all that kind of stuff had to sort of be, you know, thought out before, you know, we opened our doors.
And I went with my wife 2 weekends ago, I think, and there is plenty of space. I mean, I will say, mm-hmm. you know, I've been in the Museum of Art when it's been crowded, you know, I mean, like when there's things going on, but the ticketing really does allow a fair amount of space. I imagine that presents some financial challenges on your end of having fewer people, but as an experience, it's kind of great. Like, I mean,
well, I mean, I think about it too. I mean, we all love to be in museums when it's sort of empty, because you have the best opportunity to see work. And we're operating at about 30% capacity from our sort of normal capacity levels through these sort of 3-timed ticket windows each day. And, you know, it really is giving you the best opportunity to see all of this great work on the walls and, you know, keep a lot of distance. And TMA is, you know, because of the nature of the way that our building is constructed, we don't have sort of the natural path, say you would at maybe a garden or another type of museum. So what's also nice is, too, is people can sort of wander. You know, we have over, you know, 45,000 square feet of space, and that's just our indoor space, to sort of wander amongst, you know, the galleries and the gardens and everything else that we have here, so people can really have a really good experience and not feel compromised where they're going to be running into so many people or feel they won't be able to, you know, have social distance.
And I don't want to undersell the new wing. I mean, obviously, just like the space, the space is, it looks great, and it's connected, really sort of flows in a way that you're like kind of forgot that that wasn't there to begin with. I was just like,
that's,
oh, right.
That's great feedback.
There was a wall there and it's not anymore. It's also just an incredible display of art. I mean, can you give people a sort of a sense of what they should expect or what, you know, why come see the Kasser wing?
Sure. I mean, it's a little over 7,000 square feet of 100% exhibition space. And I thought that was something that was really important when we were approaching this project. This is all public space for the museum to expand their collections. And what the wing is comprised of is five galleries, three dedicated to Art of Ancient Americas from Latin America. So primarily the collections of the Kasser family, the Baker family, and the museum collection. And then we have a gallery dedicated to our colonial collection, which has been one of our founding collections here at the museum. And then also really important about this is we have a gallery that's dedicated to contemporary and modern Latin American art. So what you'll see in this particular wing is over 3,000 years of art being created throughout Latin America. So it's pretty special, not only in the nature of the type of this wing, but its sort of role in sort of all of our colleagues across the country. This is sort of very special because we're looking at both the ancient Americas all the way to today in one very small space.
And I am
not so small space, but you know,
it tells a story for sure. And I am exactly. Not a particularly bright person when it comes to art. I just like it. But I was struck by just the number of, I think what this is amateur hour by all means, but just the number of faces you see in that collection. I don't think I'm used to seeing pre-Columbian and sort of the history of Latin American art with so many people in it. I think I'm used to seeing dishware or, you know, artifacts of the space, but there, it really does represent, like, you see a glimpse of how people saw themselves
absolutely
in that time period.
And I think too, that was some of the great curatorial work done by our youngest and newest curator, Dr. Christopher Driggers, who we hired specifically for this project, and he is our curator of Latin American art. And that was something that was really important when we had those early conversations about what is it that we're going to display and how are we going to approach this. And that, you know, he was so smart in terms of looking at, you know, how people lived in those times and really what they were creating art for and how that carried through almost to today, or it is going through today. And also to some of the selections that we made from our collection, because currently the modern and contemporary Latin American art that's up right now is actually all from TMA's permanent collection. So we wanted to select artists that made relationships to a lot of those sort of, you know, ancient art forms or ancient imagery. So, you know, you'll see a painting, an interactive painting by the LA-based artist Patrick Martinez, where you'll see some of, you know, you'll see a repeat of imagery from those sort of ancient times. We also have another piece up by Carlos Betancourt, a Puerto Rican artist who has a photo collage that's utilizing some pre-Columbian or Art of Ancient Americas imagery in there. And so we wanted to sort of tie back and forth so people had this very sort of easy visual relationship. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, yes, some of them, particularly the ancient artifacts, were used for particular purposes within society. However, they are amazing pieces of art just in themselves. And so we wanted to, you know, sort of bring that forward.
And I mean, and that still, I mean, beyond just getting to see the new thing, there is still exhibition that was held over, right? Southwest Rising, the gallery, the celebration of Elaine Horwich, right?
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, and that was one thing we unfortunately, like a few of our colleagues, it was open for about 2 weeks and then unfortunately was shut down due to the pandemic. And we've extended that through September 20th, so there's still a couple weekends here to see this. And this is a remarkable exhibition that it was really also a labor of love for our chief curator, Dr. Julie Sossi, who is the former gallery director of Elaine Horwich. And this is really telling the story of contemporary art through the eyes of one of probably the most famous female gallerist in the state of Arizona in its history, who had, you know, such an influential aspect in representing many of the great artists who were here in the 60s, 70s, 80s, into the 90s. So it's sort of a who's who of who would have been sort of the most hot contemporary artists of those days. And, you know, now we look at it after, you know, a couple decades, and it's sort of it's still so fresh. These artists, the work that they were creating is still extremely engaging. And it's just wonderful to sort of see this journey of contemporary art in the American Southwest, where, you know, most people think about, you know, 70s, 80s, and 90s in contemporary art. You're thinking New York, Chicago, Los Angeles. But there was so much work being made out here in the American Southwest region.
Well, it's an incredible show, both the what's in the Kasser wing, but also that show. It blew my mind. I was just so pleased to be back in the space, to be honest, but also just to see just the Tucson Museum of Art, you know, coming up on these sort of big anniversaries and just the sort of classic part of Tucson culture. But just it's still evolving and becoming this bigger, better, more educational, more cultural space for people. And I really appreciate that. It means a lot to me.
Great. Yeah, and I mean, it's hard to think about. I mean, we're an institution as sort of an organization. We're coming up on 100 years, and it's interesting to think about what is the legacy of this institution in this community over those years, and really how it's grown with Tucson.
It's an amazing place, and we do have one of those. You're participating in the Tucson Show of Support, and if people go to the TMA website today or up until I think Sunday, if they put the code visit TMA in the discount code space, I believe it's 20% off, at least the individual membership. I didn't try it with the other ones, but there's a discount and it's great. If people want to become members, I'm going to do that by before the end of the week here and sign up my family. But it's such a great space. And thanks so much, Jeremy, for coming on and talking about it. Certainly appreciate it.
We really appreciate the opportunity. Thank you so much, Dan. And we look forward to seeing many new faces at the museum.
I do, too. We'll talk about all the new faces next time. It'll be great.
Excellent. Sounds great.
You are listening to the Bill Buckmaster Show here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. The live line number, which is brought to you by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, is 790-2040. We'll be back with more guests talking about more great Tucson places after these messages.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is in the process of developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, and soon will consider which projects best address transportation needs across the greater Tucson region. As part of its ongoing public outreach, the RTA invites your early input on which projects meet regional goals. Learn more about plan development and provide input at rtanext.com. Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It is 10:30, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. We are broadcasting from the Green Things and Zocalo Village Studio. It is also the live line. The Buckmaster Show live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. You know, speaking of Green Things, since 1970, Green Things has been the go-to place for your gardening needs. Green Things is on a lovely 13-acre site, which is also home to Zocalo Village. And all those fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. The things you love from Zocalo, they're all there at Green Things too now. Green Things on River Road, it is just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, and on the web at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. It's a lovely place, and if you need plants, it's hard to beat it because they have all of the plants. I'm no botanist, but it appears they have all of them. That's what I noticed. My name is Dan Gibson. I'm Senior Director of Communications at Visit Tucson, filling in for Bill. We are talking about attractions. We're talking about the places that you love to visit, the places that you love to take your visitors to. And our next guest in the cavalcade of very important people, this is the interview I have to nail because Nancy Kluge, Reed Park Zoo President and CEO, is also the head of the Visit Tucson Board of Directors. And she has a lot of influence and sway. And if this goes sideways, she's calling Brent. She might be texting him now. I don't know. Anything is possible. Nancy, thank you for being on the Buckmaster Show.
We'll be gentle, Dan. thank you. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. We really appreciate it.
It is my pleasure. And, I mean, everybody loves the zoo. It is impossible not to be delighted at the zoo. I think that's science, as far as I know. The zoo, I mean, obviously the zoo had been closed for some time period and the reopening is in sort of a limited adjusted sense, right?
That's right. Yes, we were closed just over 5 months doing our part to help with keeping our community safe. And we opened last Wednesday. We're calling it the Wildlife Walk to emphasize that it's different than your normal zoo experiences. So it's not, doesn't have the rides, doesn't have the train rides and carousel, very limited number of people to be able to welcome our guests back in a safe manner.
But people can still be delighted by small elephants, right? And that feels like the key to me, is that you can go to the zoo and still be delighted by baby elephants.
Absolutely. And our little Penzi, as we call her, her name is Mapenzi, and she is the star of the show as our guests have been coming back. They've been so happy to see her. It's been really amazing how many people have been watching her as she's growing online. So people from all over the country and even all over the world have been watching our webcams to see little Penzi grow.
It's, I mean, it, who there's plenty more than elephants, but I had to get that in there because my wife was like, you're going to talk about elephants, right? So for some reason, there's some sort of neural connection with people and elephants that just transcends everything, I think.
There really is. And the family connection. So Penzi has a big sister, Nandi, who just turned 6. And she just follows Nandi around. She copies whatever she does. It is just so fun to see the interactions of the different herd members and just how they all look after Penzi. So Penzi's our little elephant, but she actually weighs 600 pounds now.
Oh, my.
So she's now compared to Mom, who's at 8,000 pounds, or Dad, who's close to 14,000. She looks really tiny, but 600 pounds by no means is a small animal.
And I think what strikes me, and I'm you know, just thinking about, you know, all of these places still have expenses, our attractions, gardens, museums, all these things have expenses that continue. But the zoo has very real, you know, the animals are not going to skip meals. I mean, there's a real thing of a lot of work that happened when income functionally disappeared.
And that's right. We had a good portion of our staff have to be on grounds to take care of preparing 400 diets every day for these animals, to take care of still continuing to provide them enrichment and different interesting things for the animals to do during their day. So there are definitely a lot of expenses that continue on even when we're closed.
And I think that, I mean, this creates such an issue of just those challenges of coming out of this in a smart and secure way, and to give people still great experiences. I mean, the Reed Park Zoo is such an important part of like how we all sort of collectively educate our children, but also how we think about the world around us. And you know, a lot of those opportunities for fundraising and for just the sort of everyday ticketing disappeared. How do you come out of that? How do you plan for that sort of recovery?
As an institution that's responsible for the care of these amazing living creatures, our board has always emphasized making sure that we have cash reserves for emergencies. So we had thought through what do we need to be in place. So that helped us. But as you can imagine, it was still a strain. But I have to really thank our community. They went online and they bought masks. They made donations. They adopted animals. So I just can't thank enough the community for what they did during the time we were closed to help us out. Every single one of those animals that were adopted or masks that were bought really made a difference.
It's one of the sort of great things about Tucson, I think, is that in general, I mean, it's sometimes difficult to get that message across to people like, hey, we could use the help right now. But when people know it, they're very ready to sort of like, well, we can't. It's amazing how many people I've talked to this week when we've been talking about the Tucson Show support thing. They're like, well, we can't let these places go away. Like, what do we have to do to preserve them, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tucson is amazing. I really feel like the zoo was built by the Tucson community and continues to really be supported. So what a great community we live in.
And I wanted to make sure too, I mean, obviously I'm very much happy to plug the Tucson Show support and Reed Park Zoo is offering, I want to make sure I get it right, a 20% off the price of a yearly membership with the code VISIT20, and people can go directly to the Reed Park Zoo's website and buy a membership that way. Or if you prefer, you could go through visittucson.org/support. But also ZooSon is coming up, right? That's sneaking right around the corner, a month from today, maybe.
That's right. So October 2nd will be a virtual ZooSon. So we will have an auction going live on September 19th, leading up to the big day. So people have the option of signing up and listening at no cost and hopefully supporting the auction. Or you can buy tickets for a VVIP, virtual VIP, where you can get a picnic basket to enjoy while you watch, and also the opportunity for a behind-the-scenes tour live and in person with that as well.
That's incredible. That sounds like a delight. And one of the things I was really also impressed by with the zoo was just how much you all dove straight into like offering these virtual programs. Are there still opportunities to sort of experience a zoo if people can't get to the zoo right now?
Very much so. So we're continuing our virtual programs because we know not everybody is going to feel comfortable coming out right now. And also for our schools. So we have a special page for teacher resources, and we're starting to get a lot of schools that are signing up for a virtual field trip. I know we had a school from Georgia sign up the other day, so we're getting some national attention for our virtual programs as well.
Well, and so, yeah, that's amazing. I think the sort of spirited adaptation that the zoo has put into this is really remarkable. And I definitely, it's encouraging me too, right? It's like, well, let's think about this in a new way. How do we still reach people and do the best work that we can? I want to make sure people know that they can get tickets now for the sort of modified guest experience. They can go to reedparkzoo.org. And if they want memberships, visit tucson.org/support. Thank you so much, Nancy, for being on the air. Do I get to keep my job?
Absolutely,
okay.
Dad.
Excellent. That means a lot
to me.
Thank you
for the opportunity.
Thank you so much. You're listening to the Bill Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. You can call if you like, if you have questions about, you know, attractions or things. The Rincon Ventures live line at 790-2040. Also, you can learn so much more about what's happening on this station, the shows before and after, Wake Up Tucson, Zach Yenser Show, The Tipping Point. That's all at kvy.com. Bill will be back, I believe, on Tuesday. I'll be back on Friday doing the segment which I have taken over from Matt Russell. It's my segment now, Weekend Watch. But also tomorrow, Ben Bueller-Garcia will be filling in for Bill, and then Dan Shearer on Friday, so plenty to look forward to. We still have a whole half of a show to go, though. So I'll be back, Dan Gibson, filling in for Bill Buckmaster on 1030 The Voice.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com. Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. I always want to put a different accent. Next break, I'll do a different accent on a different word. It'll mix it up. It'll be fun. We are broadcasting from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, and the Bill Buckmaster Show live line at 790-2040 is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Time to start your planning to Silver City so you're ready when New Mexico is once again open to out-of-state visitors. Only a three-hour drive east of Tucson, there is so much to do in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, including hiking in the Gila National Wilderness and visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. For a complete listing of the many things to do and great places to stay in Silver City and Grant County, visit southwestnewmexico.org. My name is Dan Gibson. I'm filling in for Bill Buckmaster. I'm the Senior Director of Communications at Visit Tucson. We're talking about attractions. We're talking about the places that Tucsonans love to go and that they love to take their visitors to, and the sort of collective reopening, the sort of reemergence from the era of COVID. Also, just as a plug, which I'm going to just keep doing over and over again, you can go to visittucson.org/support to learn how you can save money on all of the places you've heard from today and many more. Our next guest in the cavalcade of very important people is Lisa Heistreiter. I'm getting that so wrong, and I'm sorry. Lamb, Mini Time Machine Executive Director and Curator. How are you, Lisa?
I'm very good, and you did pretty good on my name.
It's getting to me. I have no caffeine or water right now, and at some point I'll be slipping under the desk at around 12:55. So you got the good segment. Otherwise, it's all downhill from here. I love Mini Time Machine. It is a place of whimsy and joy, and I think while a place that many Tucsonans love, I think still a little underrated. Like, I think it sometimes slips off the radar. I am trying my very best, and I know you all are as well. But if people have not been to Mini Time Machine, what should they expect?
Oh, well, I don't know that they can know what to expect. So many people come in here and are not sure what a miniature is, but it is a wonderful place where we have things, magical villages, fairy castles, but we also have replicas of actual buildings in the real world that look just so realistic you can hardly believe it. And we have things as small as 1/16th of an inch carvings on the tips of lead pencils. So there's a range of different kinds of miniatures that you can see when you come to our building.
It is absolutely magical. It is one of those things that, like, the level of detail and the craft that people have put into these miniatures, and then the people who have collected them, including the husband and wife that founded the museum. Like, there's a lot of layers of just creativity and care. And it sort of, it comes through. You can appreciate it in this very way of, like, looking and saying, wow, this is just amazing craft work. But then you can also just walk in and just be, like, thoroughly delighted. Like, oh, there's someone moving in that house, you know, like, mm-hmm. There's just so much happening.
Yeah, and we have a gallery especially for children called the Enchanted Realm, where we have a fairy who lives in the Enchanted Tree in our Enchanted Realm, and we even have her come to life for some of our programs. So we do have something for children as well as history and amazing craftsmanship for adults, and so there's something for everyone.
I thoroughly believe that. Like, my wife is just like, when we were talking about the show support and the membership, she's like, first of all, Mini Time Machine, and then she's like, and then the rest we'll decide from there. So,
oh, how sweet.
She's like just delighted by everything there. But Mini Time Machine is now fully open, right? I mean, you're back into some approximation of normalcy. When did you open back up?
We opened up the first week of July. And yes, we are open. We're open Wednesday through Sunday currently from 9 to 4. And, you know, like many of the institutions, we are asking that people do time ticket entry. So you do need to purchase your tickets in advance. We are doing, you know, trying to manage the number of people in the building. And we've had to make a few modifications, of course, to make sure that it stays safe for everyone.
And, I mean, I think, how does Mini Time Machine sort of get out? I mean, you were closed for a significant amount of time. How does that affect the sort of day-to-day of how you're planning for the museum or looking forward?
Yeah, it was really quite difficult. You know, we closed during our high season, and at first we didn't expect to be closed for so long, and we really put an effort into trying to retain our staff while we were closed, and we were very fortunate to receive a PPP loan to help with that. And but, you know, our big part of our revenue stream is admissions and membership and store sales and facility rentals. And so it was a really tough spring because those all went away. And we did call upon our constituents, our friends, and said, can you help us out? We were really struggling. And our friends in the community have really stepped up to help us out and help us get through. And we're so glad to be open again and be able to welcome everybody back into the building again.
And there's a fair amount of, I assume, some events that just sort of got pushed back and some of the exhibitions, but there's a lot coming up, right, in the next, but before the end of the year, there's a lot of things happening at Mini Time Machine.
Yeah, there are. We did have to adjust our plans and change and move some exhibits that we couldn't afford to bring out this year, but we still have some exciting things to see. We were opening several exhibits this fall. Model Behavior by the Sonoran Desert Model Builders will be opening later in September, and so you get a chance to see some wonderful models built by the local community. Buzzard Creek, which is our Halloween installation, will be opening September 30th for the month of October, and then we're bringing the work of a Sedona-based artist, Mike Meadow, down in October through the end of the year. It's his Whimsical Village. He does carved sculptures. They're everything from a shoe house to an actual home in Italy, in the islands of Italy. So it'll be an interesting array of exhibits for the fall. And we're also adapting some of our programs because we can't do things like we usually do, and we have some popular programs that we know people have missed. So we've been making some adaptations for those. Kids Create is one of those programs, and we've turned it into Kids Create at Home. So it's become a virtual program. So instead of coming here to do a craft, which we didn't think would be a good idea at this time, we set it up so that you can come purchase a kit and pick up the kit, and then you can join a live Zoom session to learn how to make how to put the miniature together. And if you don't have time to join that live Zoom session, it is going to be recorded for those who purchase the kit, and so you'll have the entire month to do it at your convenience, to watch the instructions at your convenience. And then we also have another program where, as I mentioned earlier, we bring Fairy Caitlin to life. She's our resident fairy here. It's called Tiny Tales for Tots, and right now we're doing Tiny Tales with a twist. So Fairy Caitlin is going to be in later this month on a Saturday morning, and we are going to move the program into our double suite from our Enchanted Realm so that we can more carefully manage the crowd, and we'll have crowd control. You will need to pre-register for the program. It'll still be free with your museum admission, but you will need to pre-register, and you'll still get to see Fairy Caitlin and engage with her. However, she won't be able to give out hugs right now, so you'll have to just do a virtual hug as you sit in the audience.
A virtual hug is better than no hug at all. I say that
exactly
all the time. And you had been offering, actually, one of the reasons we thought about doing the Tucson Show Support was that I'd seen the discount that Mini Time Machine was offering ahead of our plan, but you were kind enough to extend it to until Sunday, I think. But it's
if you
go to the Mini Time Machine website, which I want to make sure I get right, theminitimemachine.org.
Correct.
There is you go, and if you purchase a membership, it's use the code FRIEND, which is awfully nice. It's $10 off any individual, couple, or family membership, which as it goes, too, I mean, there are plenty of places to join. The Mini Time Machine membership is really affordable, and I think the family one, you can have up to 4 children on it, if I'm getting that right. So and it gets you in free to some of the events, like the Tiny Tales for Tots, the membership. This is such a membership cliche for museums, but it really does pay for itself.
Yes, it really does. Just usually on one visit, and yeah, and you get discounts to all of our programs.
It is a delight. like I want to say that if you have not been to Mini Time Machine, I think people maybe think because the word mini is in it that it is primarily for children, and your children will love it. But two adults will have a delightful time just looking at the work there. It is a true gift to this community. It's such an unexpected thing to take people to, and I highly encourage everyone to go.
Thank you, Dan.
Of course.
It is magical and fun.
It is that. Lisa, thanks so much for being on the program today. It's theminitimemachine.org for people who want to get those memberships today. And thanks so much for talking about the museum.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Of course, my pleasure. You're listening to the Bill Buckmaster Show. I am Dan Gibson filling in for Bill on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. One more segment. We've gotten through all of it so far without any severe mistakes. Let's keep fingers crossed.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for the draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Welcome back to the Bill Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio with the Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. My name is Dan Gibson. I am the Senior Director of Communications for Visit Tucson. I'm filling in for Bill. Tomorrow, we have Ben Bueller-Garcia filling in for Bill. And then Friday is Dan Shearer of the Green Valley News and the Suarita Sun. Great lineup rest of the week, and then a best of show on Monday on Labor Day, and then Bill's back on Tuesday to wrestle the show back from the rowdy caretakers of this week. He's on vacation. If you follow him on social, which he likes, you can follow him on Facebook. You can see pretty pictures of places he's gone. So it's a win-win. We are talking about attractions, about the places that we like to take our families, our friends, our visitors, the places that really make Tucson what it is. So we've been talking to various people who run these attractions. And part of that, selfishly, is that we're Visit Tucson. We're running a program called Tucson's Show of Support. You can go to visittucson.org/support to get discounted memberships for this week at many of these great attractions, including the Tucson Botanical Gardens. And we have Michelle Conklin, who's the executive director on the air. Thanks for being on the show, Michelle.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. It's more my pleasure, even. No, I don't know. I am terrible at radio, and that proves it. The Botanical Gardens, what was the effect on the Botanical Gardens of COVID? I mean, in the more specific sense of how did that change the day-to-day business there?
Yeah, you know, I know you've been talking with my colleagues, and it changed everything. Like, the day we closed on the 16th of March, it was everything closed. The gardens receives about 70% of their income from earned revenue, which is the admission ticket and weddings and cafe and classes, and that just all completely stopped. And during that time, we still had a plant collection and animals on property to care for and historic buildings. So it was really pretty devastating.
And the gardens are fully open now? Like, how did the reopening plan go?
Actually, we're not fully reopened. We partially reopened on July 9th. So we opened our garden spaces, but all of the indoor spaces, the galleries, the butterfly house, those spaces are all closed. We actually had to build a brand new temporary admission building to service a one-way in and one-way out route for our garden visitors. So we had to do, we installed brick pathing so that way people could actually arrive at the new admission building safely. And we've had to do a lot of work like a lot of other places have done.
And though, I mean, there was a lot of, the Botanical Gardens were changing. I mean, well, the gardens mm-hmm. themselves are classic and amazing, but there was a lot of things happening up to that point too. So, I mean, that's a lot of change and a lot of pivoting in a small amount of time.
It is. We've been talking for years about, you know, moving into a time ticketing system, which is a huge investment to change all of your technology. But this forced us to do it very quickly. And so now you have to buy your tickets online. But in the end, that's going to make our operations much more smoother and more efficient. So that's a good benefit, but it's still a very difficult time to have to invest that kind of money into infrastructure.
And I don't know if we've, I mean, it's one of those things I think I mentioned in passing and during one of the segments, but I mean, just the restriction of even being open, the fact that you're not having as many people come through, but also I think for the Botanical Gardens, I mean, the events are such a big part of what happens there. I think of it as like one of Tucson's classic wedding destinations.
It is, and what also is summertime, as you know, being in the tourist industry, summertime is when our locals all come out and enjoy the gardens, and many of them are members. So as members, they get in for free. We're missing a lot of those European tourists that we rely on in the summertime to help offset the low admissions. So, you know, it's wonderful to see people in the gardens again, and we have dog days going on right now, so we have our four-legged friends joining us until September 31st. But yeah, summer's brutal for attractions.
So what, as coming out of this, how does, you know, what does the Botanical Gardens, what do you have coming up? Does this affect, you know, I mean, I think so much in my own head too of the connection between the holiday season and the Botanical Gardens. Is it still too early to say how that will be affected, or will it at all?
No, you know, that's the one thing. We haven't really allowed COVID to stop us from moving forward and planning for the future. We spent 3 hours unloading a truck because we have a new exhibit that arrived from the Denver Botanic Garden called La Cavalera Katrina. That opens on September 17th, pretty exciting, through November 30th. And then we've re-envisioned Luminaria Nights. So we can't have an event like we've had in the past. So this year we have a whole new event for the holidays called Wanderland, and it'll be an evening stroll through a lighted garden. And we're still working out a lot of those details, but we've added some new lighted features. We'll be open 4 nights a week through the month of December, Thursday through Sunday. And when La Cavalera Katrina opens in September, we'll also be opening 4 nights a week, Thursday through Sunday in the evening as well.
I mean, that's a it's a it's through a tough circumstance, but that sounds like the evening, like extended evening hours is sort of a nice benefit of it.
Yes, we're investing in new lighting so we can uplight the trees, and we're putting in a sound system so there'll be some ambient music as you stroll through the garden. So yeah, it's all about enjoying being out in nature, and also enjoy being with your family and enjoy being in a really beautiful garden, because I tell you, the garden looks fantastic right now.
It always does, but that's promising. I'm sure you see it in a very different way. I'm always just like driven by pure delight every time I'm there. I'm just like I think I went 5 or 6 times during the Kahlo, that time period, taking people, then also going with my family. But every time I'm there, I always end up in there's a better name for it than I'm going to give it, but the recreation of the backyard, like the sort of idea of like
the Tucson barrio garden.
Yeah. It, for some reason, that just brings me this endless amount of joy. Like
it does. I know. And we're going to open it up a little bit because these spaces are very small and to accommodate lots of people. So we're opening the barrio garden up a bit. So there'll be a one way in and a one way out, and kind of extending that experience out into another area of the garden.
And I mean, obviously I'm trying to get people to get those memberships this week, at visit tucson.org/support. I want to make sure I get the deal right, 'cause it's really good. It's a 20% discount on a yearly membership. You could just go to the Botanical Gardens website as well. Just cut out the middleman at tucsonbotanical.org. And the code is Visit Tucson 20. The V and the T are capitalized. I don't know if that's important, but you never know. How are other ways that people can support the gardens in this time?
Well, we ask everyone to spread the word, you know? It's time to start gossiping good stuff about your garden, your local attractions. And, of course, we just wrapped up a matching gift campaign for a Hot Summer Day Fund, and become a member and come again, because we'll always try to have something new for you to look at, and there's always something different blooming at the gardens.
I will say also, I said this about Reed Park Zoo, but the Botanical Gardens really did come up with some great sort of virtual classes and offerings in that time period. Are those going to be a part of the gardens to come? Is that sort of something you just add to the repertoire?
That is another thing, another interesting outcome of all of this. We have 32 online classes scheduled for the fall.
Wow.
We're pretty excited about it, because in some instances you're not in our small classroom. We could probably get 25 people or 30 on our recent online classes. We can get 50 to 75 plus people. It's been wonderful.
And I mean, how does it, this is maybe not the most important thing, but it is to me. I think of how great the gift shop is there. How does that change? Is the gift shop still open?
The gift shop is open, but we are reducing the number of folks that can come in the gift shop at any one time. We're bringing in some new gift shop product, and you know, we just ask that you wear your mask and respect our, I think it's 4 to 6 people at a time in the gift shop.
The sort of great trick, if you're ever stumped on something to buy, you know, a friend or family, whatever, gift buying is difficult, but museum gift shops is my key to success. Especially the Tucson Botanical Gardens one is super charming and has a ton of great local and regional things. It's an easy way to find something very cool and unique.
They do. They reflect your community really well. And if you're a gardener, it's the perfect place to come.
Well, thank you, Michelle, for being on the show today. Certainly appreciate it. People can find out so much more about the Tucson Botanical Gardens at tucsonbotanical.org. And you can go to visit tucson.org/support and find the deal for Tucson Botanical Gardens and all the others. Thanks so much for being on the show today.
Well, thank you for all you do, too, at Visit Tucson.
I certainly appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Okay.
You have been listening to the Bill Buckmaster Show. He has been nice enough to let me take an attempt at not ruining everything for everyone. My name is Dan Gibson from Visit Tucson. You can find out more about what we do at visittucson.org. Also, all of our social media channels, they are a nice bit of joy in some challenging times. We're on Instagram, Pinterest, Twitter, Facebook too, if you like. You've been listening to 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Keep the radio on. Just keep listening. Ride it out. Tomorrow there'll be shows too. The Tipping Point with Zach Yenser and Wake Up Tucson with Christy Simone. Thanks to Bill Buckmaster for letting me host a show.